Jeremy, very much. There is in our assembly a brother I deeply love. His name is Peter Vanderform. Peter is an auto mechanic, has his own business. But more than that, he's a man with a real shepherd's heart. And the beginning of each year, I give to my elders my itinerary as I know it at that point. And often through the year, he'll come to me and say, "Well, I'll be praying for you on Sunday when you're in such and such a place." And last Tuesday evening at the close of our prayer meeting, he said to me, "Now, you're going out to Fargo on Sunday." I said, "That's right." He said, "I want you to tell the saints there that every time I hear of a flood in the Fargo area, I pray for them." So I'm sure there are many more who do. But there's one that you didn't know, and he prays for you. He loves you. And if you knew him, you'd love him too. Name Peter Vanderform. So I give him last Tuesday evening at the close of our prayer meeting. He said to me, "Now, you're going out to Fargo on Sunday." I said, "That's right." He said, "I want you to tell the saints there that every time I hear of a flood in the Fargo area, I pray for them." So I'm sure there are many more who do. But there's one that you didn't know, and he prays for you. He loves you. And if you knew him, you'd love him too. Name Peter Vanderform. So I give him your warmest regards with pleasure. As our study of the book of Ruth continues, there are two things that are going to become very, very clear. And I hope you will remember them. Number one, there is the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God is in control, complete control. Secondly, God is a God of love. And what a delight it will be as we come through this book to appreciate the fact that God is love. The Word of God makes that very clear. Simply says, God is love. And we've heard about that this afternoon. And how wonderful to be able to say at the close of Gary's message, amen. May each of us appreciate all that we are and have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you will recall from this morning, I hope, that Elimelech, in a time of famine, left Bethlehem, the house of bread, for idolatrous worship in the land of Moab. 10 years have passed. Elimelech and his two sons have died. And his wife, Naomi, is left with her two daughters-in-law. It was a sorry sight that we beheld by faith when we saw them standing on the borderline of Moab and Judah. Hearts were broken. Tears were flowing freely. Naomi had told Orpah and Ruth that she was going back to Bethlehem. The girls had a choice to make. These two young widows, would they go with Naomi, or would they go back to Moab? Well, as you know, one decided for Moab. That was Orpah. And interestingly, she went back to her gods and then just fades out of history. We don't read another thing about her. Now, shouldn't that be a lesson to us? When we look at Ruth, what happened to Ruth? Why? She became a part of the family tree of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what a contrast. But that's the way it was in the goodness and the greatness of God. Orpah chose to stay with her people and gods. Naomi returned bitter and broken to Bethlehem in company with Ruth. But they were both to see the sovereignty of God displayed in all of its preciousness. There are five sections to this chapter, which we'll try and cover briefly. First, I'd like to think with you about the relationship of Ruth, verses 1 to 3. We have recognition in 4 to 7. We have refreshment in 8 to 11. We have recompense in 12 to 17. And we have rejoicing, sincere rejoicing, in 18 to 23. Before we have our reading, there are two words that I want to explain because we're going to use them throughout this meditation and subsequent meditations. First is the term of a kinsman. The kinsman was a very interesting individual for the most part. He was the nearest of kin by blood to a deceased person. And so he was interested in the deceased. As such, he had first claim on the property and the owner and the holdings of the deceased. He could buy all that back, and he could make it his own. And of course, that's what the word redeem means to buy back. And so the kinsman redeemer is an interesting individual in Jewish history. He also had the right to marry the wife of a deceased man. If he was next of kin, he could marry the deceased's wife, and he could bear children by her, and he had the accompanying responsibilities, as we will see in a session or so. But this kinsman is going to appear in today's session. Then the second word that I would like to explain to you is that of gleaning. I realize that many of you know these terms, but particularly for the young in Christ that are back there in those last three rows, I love to see young people. I'll tell you this, though. It's just between you and me, us older folks. Those young people always look better when they're right up there, and I can eyeball it with them. So we'll reserve these seats up here if you want to come up this evening and sit here. I'm not forcing you to, not at all. Brother John would even move. Would you? Okay. Well, there's a promise for you. Well, in all seriousness, it just thrills me to see young people in the audience here today. And I pray God's going to bless you in a special way. But the second term I want to draw to your attention is that of gleaning. Gleaning was something that was done according to the law of Moses. When the crops were being harvested, those that were out in the field cutting the sheaves and bringing it in, they were told that they were not to go into the corners of the field, but that they were just to arc from one extreme to the other and leave some standing in every corner. So then there was as well those portions that fell to the ground. They were to be left on the ground. They weren't to pick them up. Why was that, you say? It was for those that were poor, people who didn't have any income, had no means of bringing in a good meal and all that was required of a family. And so, as far as the natives of Bethlehem were concerned, there were surrounding areas where the farmers would have their staff and their workmen work in that fashion, and the fields would be left occupied in the corners and then left any that dropped to the ground. So that's what we're going to see happen here in our lesson this afternoon. So we'll begin our reading in verse 1, and we'll go for a section or two with the prayer God's going to bless us. So reading in Ruth chapter 2, and verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, and that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither to go from hence, but abide here fast by the my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto any to one of thine handmaidens. Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and drink thy morsel, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. Get this. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and she was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, reproach her not. And let fall also some of handfuls of purpose, drop some of the grain purposely for her, and leave her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave her and her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by the young men until they have ended all the harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go not out with the maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and to dwell with her mother-in-law. Let's pause for a moment. Father God, we commit this time of meditation to Thee. Pray that in a very special way we'll sense Your presence. Pray especially for the beloved young people who are with us. Bless them and keep them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In verses 1 to 3, we looked at a relationship. Naomi had a kinsman on the side of her deceased husband, Elimelech. She could have appealed to him for help, but up to this point, she had said nothing to him. His name was Boaz, and as I mentioned this morning, I love the meaning of Bible names. So, young people, get up the dictionary of Bible names and look up Boaz. And as you do, you know what you'll find? It means strength. Isn't that a great name for a man? A man of strength and character. That was Boaz. A beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we shall see. One morning, Ruth's leaving the humble home in Bethlehem that she shared with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she announced to her mother-in-law, "I'm going out to glean." And she wishes her God's blessing, and off she goes. Now, Ruth was qualified to glean on several scores. First, Ruth was poor. She had nothing along with her mother-in-law. Ruth had come from another land. Ruth had no one to care for her or to keep her. And so she, as I have said, qualified very well. But when you stop to think about it, you and I qualified in the need for a Redeemer as well. We were poor. We were in our sins estranged from God. Did you notice the lines in that chorus we sang from the transparent, or the on this chorus? The second line went like this: God, estranged from God. That's the way it was in that awful hour when He died for you and me. But beloved, we were estranged from God. Every one of us, far from God, and so far from God that the eternal incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus, had to come from the glory, go down to Calvary, die for us, to make us His very, very own. And that's exactly what He did. We needed a kinsman redeemer. And He filled the role beautifully and completely. So Ruth was poor. She qualified in that respect. She was a stranger, come in from Moab. People didn't know her other than her mother-in-law. And so, Ruth is a picture of you and of me in that respect also. We were strangers, far from God. We were deep in sin. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, and we thank God for the redemption that He accomplished. And so, Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. He was near of kin to Ruth and through Naomi, and one who qualified as a gleaner. But then Ruth went off. And did you notice that text? I love it. It says, she just happened to come to the field of Boaz. And as she looked over to this field with many women, no doubt, working in it, she thought to herself, well, this looks good. This should be a good field in which to glean. And so she speaks to the foreman and asks the foreman's permission, and she's granted it. But she just happened, in the sovereignty of God, to come on that field. Young people, when you want a thrilling subject to study, study the sovereignty of God. God, in His sovereignty and in His love, gave His Son to die for you and for me. And this afternoon, he is our next of kin. He's our kinsman. Why? Because one day he became a man without sin to die for sinners. You and I are members of the human race, and he voluntarily became a part of our race, that in turn he might die for us on Calvary's cross. Robert Stevenson, the famous Scottish engineer and grandfather of the well-known Robert Louis Stevenson, was born in 1772. 100 years after his birth, there was a great demonstration held in Newcastle. There was a huge procession of people coming from all different communities, and they had banners and floats as they were in those days. And in that group, there came a very small group of people. And they had come from the community where Stevenson had been born. And on their banner, all they had was, "He was one of us." That's who the Lord Jesus was. He was one of us, exempt from sin, completely sinless. But he took upon himself your sin and mine. And there on Calvary's cross, dear ones, he suffered and bled and died to make us his very own. Ruth, I feel like you. I feel like one who was certainly not justified at all in claiming any of the goodness and the grace of God. Poverty stricken through sin, and yet my kinsman redeemer came and died for you and me. I love that hymn, and I'm sure you do too. My redeemer, oh, what beauties in that lovely name up here. He's my redeemer personally, and he's yours as well. But in verses 4 to 7, we have recognition. And we have seen the poverty and the bereavement in our study, but now we're going to be introduced to another precious element in any good story, and that's the thought of love. As Ruth came to that field, why, there could have been up to 80 young women, it is thought, working in that field. And as Boaz looks over not only the field, but those working in it, his eye falls on one young woman. And he is taken up with her. What was it? Was it her natural beauty? Possibly lovely olive skin, tanned lightly by the Mideastern sun, black hair, sparkling eyes, a smile possibly of satisfaction, having a place wherein she could gather something to eat. I don't know what it was. But among those 80-some-odd women, there was Ruth. We do know this, that it was in God's great plan that the kinsman Boaz would recognize her. And I believe that from that moment, his heart was knit to her. Beloved, you and I are part of a vast population on this planet, 6 billion. And yet out of this 6 billion, and all that have preceded us, God looked from heaven above, saw you and saw me. And his Father and his Son turned to him as they considered the great work of redemption. And the Son said, "Here am I. Send me. I'll go. I'll go to earth, become a man. I'll die for them. I'll atone for their sins. I'll become their redeemer." And we can thank God this afternoon that our redeemer lives. He who loved us and died for us. And so it was all in God's plan. But as far as you and I are concerned, we can borrow the words of the great and beloved Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 to say, the Son of God who loved me, he loved me and gave himself for me. Young people and older ones, what does that do for you? Does that cause the blood to roll, to course through your veins a little more rapidly? To appreciate the fact that God, the eternal God, the sovereign God, loves me. And what does he want and request? He says through the psalmist, Son, give me your heart. That's all he wants. Just wants your heart. Doesn't want your pocketbook. Doesn't want your home, your car. Just wants your heart. But you know what? When he has your heart, he has everything. Everything. And he'll bless you abundantly. And so, we can appreciate, along with Ruth, in another sense, that God is, through his Son, is our Redeemer. I love the words of John 15, verse 9, the words of the Lord Jesus. I read these, and every time I do, it blows my mind. Jesus said to those of his day, as the Father hath loved me. Now I can understand a holy Father loving his infinitely holy Son. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Think of it. Just as much, dear fellow believer, as God loved his holy Son, so the Son says, I love you. I love you. Aren't those precious words? I love you. Great words for newlyweds and those that have been married for many years. Helen and I had a practice that we very much enjoyed. And interestingly, in those days, we got married, they didn't have premarital counseling. An unsaved guy I worked with said to me, Arnold, he said, the last thing you do every night before you go to sleep is you tell your wife that you love her. That was great advice. But we improved on it. Those were the first words we said to one another when we awoke. She would awaken me with those words, or I would waken her. And every night at the day's close, we would say them again. What did they do? I'll tell you this. If there's been a bit of a problem through the day, you know, it just hadn't gone the way you'd planned between you and your spouse, and she hears you say, honey, I love you. Things are going to look great in the morning. Oh, go in for it, young people. Young couples, express your love often, not only at the end of the day, but frequently throughout it. Declare it, and it will be appreciated, I assure you. And so Ruth had found a place, I believe, in the heart of the kinsman redeemer, in the sovereignty and the greatness of God. As I thought about this afternoon earlier, I thought of an experience in the book of Acts. Very briefly, I'll summarize it. It's a beautiful one to dwell on. You go look at it. Is it Acts chapter 8? Philip is seeing souls saved, having a great gospel campaign. And the Lord says, Philip, I'd like you to go down to the Gaza, down to the desert, down to the wilderness. Lord, you mean leave this revival that's taking place where souls are being reached and won? Yes, go down there. So down he goes at the bidding of God. And he sees a chariot. Curiosity's aroused. He goes over it and he starts to walk alongside it. And as he walks beside it, he hears the occupant reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? How can I except some man should guide me? And he invited him up into the chariot. Philip then told him, the authorized says, he preached unto him Jesus. I like another rendering. He told him the good news about Jesus. And with an open heart, he told him all about the Lord Jesus. That man trusted Christ, was baptized, and it says, and he went on his way with a heart full of joy. What's my point? Just as that man was reading about the slaughtered lamb, that's when Philip put his foot down beside his chariot. How? In the sovereignty of God. It all came together. And that man, on his way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, started on his way to heaven. That's the kind of a God you have, dear brother, dear sister. And he wants to use you if you're usable and available for his service. What a joy. What a privilege to be so used. And so, there was the sovereignty of God. And Boaz, his heart goes out, I believe, instantaneously to Ruth. Boaz turns to his foreman and he says, "Who's that young woman?" "Oh," he said, "she's the young woman that came back with Naomi from Moab." "Oh," he said, "I've heard about her. She was the talk of the town. God had brought Ruth back for blessing, as we noted this morning. And as a result, she was going to experience that blessing through a man named Boaz." And so, Ruth had said to her mother-in-law in verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Isn't that nice? That's a New Testament word, isn't it? And what does it mean? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you experienced the grace of God? Is everyone here this afternoon? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he made his grace known to you? I think it was 2 weeks ago tonight. I stepped aboard a plane with my daughter and son-in-law. We were flying back to Kansas City. And it was on Southwest, and they don't issue boarding passes. You just go in and you occupy a certain area. And David was ahead of me. I followed. Then came Joanne. Joanne and I came to... There were no two seats together. So here was a seat by a young lady. I said to Joanne, "Honey, you take that seat. I'll sit behind you." She said, "No, Dad, you take that seat, and I'll sit behind you." Okay, you do what you're told at my age. So I sat down beside this young woman, I guess about 30, 32. She's reading a book, but she's got her hand over the title of the book. But I could see the author's name. I said, "Oh, do you enjoy Dr. David Jeremiah?" She was shocked. She said, "Well, yes, I'm enjoying this book." She said, "It's the first of his books I've read." So when I got myself comfortable, I said, "Now, what's the title of the book?" She removed her hand. "Amazing Grace." I said, "Do you know anything about the amazing grace of God?" These were her words. "No, I don't. But I'm sure trying hard to find it." And God put me right down beside that girl. Well, I said, "I experienced that grace for the first time 66 years ago. Let me tell you a little bit about it." And as simply as I could, I told her about God's grace. And she listened most attentively. As our trip continued, and I didn't want to hold her up from reading her book, she was on an errand to find grace, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the Spirit. And so she said to me, "You know, you didn't sit down in that seat by accident. Somebody put you here for that purpose." And you know, I believe it with all my heart. I had several emails from her. Her name is Angela. Lives in Kansas City. And it's a long story. I won't take the time to tell you all. But pray for Angela or Angie that you'll find the grace of God. We've had several emails back and forth. And she said, "I'm still thinking, Arna, and I want to find it." So Ruth wanted to find grace, and she did it. And I'm sure Angie will experience God's grace too. And so in verse 8, We read about refreshment. The foreman explained to Boaz why she came from Moab. She wanted a job. She just wanted to glean in the fields. And so I let her do it, and she's worked here all day from the very beginning of the morning. She's gone to that little house they called it. It was just four posts and the sand and a covering of leather or canvas to protect the workers from the shade as they went to refresh themselves with water. She says she's been here all this time. Beloved, you and I have experienced the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. And then he turns to her and he says, don't go and glean in another field. I want you to stay in my field. There's plenty here for you. Right here. Go not to glean in another field. I believe that Boaz wanted to keep her under his watchful eye. And he said, don't go to another field. You know, folks, sometimes we as Christians want to go and glean in somebody else's field. And we spend more time occupied with the world and its carnality than we spend in the things of God. Don't go into another field. Stay out of the sinful, polluted, stinking, defiling influences of the world. And stay alone in the field of Christ and watch as he watches you. And God will bless you. He'll bless you abundantly. And so he said, don't go to another field. And I ask myself, Arnett, am I content with gleaning where the Lord has put me? Beloved, I'll tell you this. If God has placed you in an assembly of God's people or a church where God's word is preached and practiced, stay to know God's will and learn his plan and purpose for your life and then follow it for his glory. He also directed Ruth to stay close to her maidens. He knew that in unity there is strength. He didn't want her off in another field where anything could happen to her. But he wanted her to stay with his maidens and stay close to them. She would be protected. She would be able to enjoy their fellowship. And Boaz also wanted her to enjoy the refreshment of the water that through his men he had provided for her. You know, there's so much to provide and satisfy us as believers if we're only prepared to dig into this book, to draw from the deep well of God's pleasure and delights. We'll be satisfied and enjoy it to the full. You'll gain strength spiritually, and you'll grow before God and under God and be blessed abundantly. There was true satisfaction, and it was to be found in his field. He said, don't go to another field. I got to thinking the other day, you know, if Ruth had gone to somebody else's field, what would it have said? I'm not satisfied with Boaz. And you know, dear brother, dear sister, when you and I start to go after the things of the world, and let's face it, there's a host of them. Pleasure, lust, sin, pornography, sport, worldly positions and attainments, all of those things and many, many more. We're the loser. But to stay close to the Lord and to enjoy the benefits and the blessings he has for us. That's how we grow. And he wanted Ruth to be kept and blessed under his all-seeing eye. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And as you and I come to him and we drink of the refreshing waters of life, we know the enjoyment of his fellowship. And so, That was his instruction to Ruth, to stay close beside the maidens. And he says in verse 9, I have charged the young men that they will not touch you. Almost sounds like a current need, doesn't it? Like our society, where young women need to be protected from an overly sexual, man-motivated environment. He says, you stay close to my men, my maidens, and I have told the young men they're not to touch you. Young people, stay close to God. Stay close to the Lord through this book. And the more you read it, the more you'll become like the Lord Jesus. One of my favorite preachers, if not my all-time favorite preacher, was a man named David Craig. In the late 40s and 50s, he came to America and Canada and preached from... He was an Irishman from Scotland. And he preached the Word of God and its power. And I'll never forget one statement that dear brother made. He said this, young man, when you study the Scriptures, don't neglect the Gospels. Because as you study the Gospels, the person of Christ will be seen in you. That's good advice. My friend Les Rainey, 50 years and more in Africa, I remember him telling our young people's camp one year, young fellow, remember this, when you go out to meet God, the only thing you take with you is your knowledge of God. That's it. That's where the rubber hits the road, guys. We only take what we've learned of God. You don't learn it here in the chapel alone. You do thank God to a degree. But the intensity of your growth in Christ will be governed by the depth that you study and enjoy this book. Go for it, and God will bless you. And so, she was advised to stay in the field, close to the maidens. And then there was going to be compensation, in 12 to 17. Ruth had come from Moab with a trust in the living God and was now under his wings. We read that in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, says Boaz, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Get this, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She put her trust in Naomi's God. Fellas and girls, this is where it's at. Older ones as well. This is where we're blessed. And so she came, and she wanted to be under the protection of his wings. The psalmist says 36 and verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And so Boaz prays to God and prays that he might be used of God to recompense Ruth and place that she might place her trust and confidence in him, that he might see her growing, I believe, spiritually and in other ways as well. He personally reached out to her. Did you notice the subtle invitation he gave to her as we read through? This guy had a luncheon date. He said, I want you to sit with the maidens. When it comes lunchtime, you will be with the maidens. Now, that doesn't sound too romantic, does it? But it's the next sentence or two. And it says, and he reached her the parched corn. Wherever she sat with the other girls, he was close enough to take the freshly parched corn that had that delicious flavor. And he said, you just help yourself to my corn. He said, take your morsel of bread, dip it in that vinegar, and then put it in with the parched corn and enjoy it. You know, Ruth was going to enjoy the things that her kinsman redeemer enjoyed. And you know, dear ones, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy the one He enjoys, His Son. And as you enjoy Him, you'll enjoy His Father as well. I love the words of Joseph. Speaks to his brethren. He's finally revealed to them that he is Joseph, whom they had sold. But now he's second in command of Egypt. And after he's revealed himself to them, after they have told them that they sinned and how they had mistreated him, then Joseph started to weep. He puts his arms around each one of them and loves them. Joseph, a picture of Christ. Beloved, that's what happens when you and I are in the condition of soul to praise the Lord and rejoice in Him. When we come to the Lord's Supper tomorrow morning, oh, may we come with baskets full and hearts that are full and feel the warmth of Calvary love. And so, Ruth was going to enjoy that love and that blessing that was coming from the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Boaz prays to God to recompense Ruth for trusting in Him. Them that honor me, says the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor. And that is a principle in the Word of God, just like the principle in chemistry, two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen makes water every time. You honor God. God honors you. It's as clear cut as that, and it's a statement from an infallible book. And so, Boaz blessed her as he reached to her the parched corn, and now she enjoyed the same thing as Boaz enjoyed. Go in for enjoying the things of God, and you'll be blessed in the way you live and live your life. But then, I want you to notice that as she enjoyed that relationship, then it came time for her to go home. She took the grain, she prepared it, put it in a sack or in a cloth, and carried it home. With joy, she returns to the home in Bethlehem in verse 18. And she's rejoicing. And with joy, Ruth returned to Bethlehem. What news she had for Naomi. And Naomi's first inquiry from the mouth of a concerned mother-in-law. Where have you gleaned today? Where have you gleaned? She says, well, mother, I gleaned in the field of a man named Boaz. And I would love to have seen Ruth's and Naomi's faces. I'm sure they exploded when Ruth said, or when Naomi said, he's one of our kinsmen. He's a next of kin to us. And all that entailed, Ruth was soon to learn. But he was available for Ruth. The kinsman redeemer, your kinsman redeemer, mine, the Lord Jesus Christ, is available and is within beck and call to help, to bless, to keep, and to care. He was a man of great wealth, we learned in verse 1. He was compassionate toward the strangers in 8 and 9. He knew all about Ruth. Said to his foreman, yes, I've heard about her. You know what? I think, being a man, he was crafty enough to have learned all he could about this young woman from Moab. And he had learned. And what he had learned, he had enjoyed. But now he was going to have the opportunity of knowing even more. Mother, he told me to stay close to the maidens. He told the young men not to touch me. But he said, you stay in my field until the harvest time is over. Beloved, listen to me. The harvest time is soon going to be over. We are not in the last days. We're in the last days of the last days. Stay in his field, where you can be near to him and others of like precious faith. And as you do, you will be encouraged as you live for God. So, she did. She stayed in that field until the harvest was brought in. We don't have too many more days to harvest in the lost soul. Like that man to whom Gary spoke yesterday on the plane. He heard once more that individual of a God who loves him. You and I have the responsibility, and I'm thrilled when I hear of the activities you carry on here in the chapel for the individuals in the community. Go for it. The harvest is almost in, and soon the last sheaf will be gathered in. And the Father will turn to the Son, and he'll say, "Son, call the church home." And the trumpet shout will be heard from 1 Corinthians 15. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a prospect. What a prospect. And it's going to happen very, very soon. Stay in the field. Stay in the field where God can use and bless you. Shall we pray? Father, we lift our hearts in gratitude to thee now and thank thee for thy love and thy precious Son, my Redeemer. Oh, what beauties in thy lovely name appear. We love him, Father. We praise him and thank thee for all thy loving goodness to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.